purpose of the inquiry is freedom of heart for each of us, those speaking and also those listening. So as you listen, you are participating in the inquiry. Your attention, your deep listening, your very respectful listening helps deepen the inquiry itself. As you listen, you will also notice that sometimes the person is asking a question which is completely and utterly relevant for you. It could be the question you wish you'd had the courage to ask. And sometimes we'll be really touched by the question. At other times, the conversation may be about something you don't yet understand. And so the practice is to also see the movements of your heart and mind. Sometimes you'll find yourself commenting inwardly, not outwardly, please, just commenting inwardly. And you might be thinking, oh, Radha should have said that. If I'd been up there, I would have said this, and so on. So we are watching the process of evaluation, of commenting. But mostly, it's simply just listening, really, really listening with an openness of heart and mind. It's a very precious form, and sometimes the inquiry comes to a rather natural conclusion. You can see that there's been a shift or a change. At other times, the inquiry seems to end with more questions than we began. And the inquiry then can go on, sometimes the reflection for weeks or months or years even. And of course, inquiry itself doesn't translate very well into Hebrew, I've been told. It's a process of just exploring in order to understand what it is that's occurred, or an experience itself. Every single experience, whether it's painful or pleasant, is actually a doorway to freedom, a doorway to liberation, because the wisdom from the experience can be understood and known, whether it's a difficult experience or a beautiful, exquisite experience. At any time, you may say thank you and leave. And at any time, I may say thank you and you also leave. I have a recorder here and Tovanar is recording it. If you don't wish for it to be recorded, just tell me. I'll switch it off here and let the managers know afterwards. And it won't be put on Tovanar's website or mine. And that's absolutely no problem at all. In between each inquiry, there's a few minutes of silence and stillness together and meditation. And then I'll ring the bell and ask for the next person. So let's begin with a minute or so of silence. Yes, anybody? I see a number of people thinking about it. Raising the hand and then scratching. Don't let fear stop you. Yes, come. And if you would say your name at the beginning, please. Avita, welcome. Welcome. You need the microphone? Quite close.
Like this? Okay. So my question is, I'm in the beginning of a new relationship, and this person is on my mind all the time.
Okay.
So it's not the first time I'm meditating or doing a retreat, but this time I feel it's like something that holds me, ties me to like thoughts and yeah, you know.
Okay. So have you fallen in love or fallen into attachment? Ask. Tell us.
I guess both.
Okay. So in the beginning of a relationship, of course, the other person looks so wonderful, don't they? They look incredible. Embodied perfection. And rather easily, this movement of the heart to love, and there is, of course, a love that's unconditional, a love that's really, really deep and immeasurable. But very often this movement of the heart to love gets blended with attachment. There's a simple question. If it hurts, it's attachment. Over to you. Say a little more about this movement of the mind to the relationship that's very new, but you've just left it temporarily to come here.
I don't think it's bad or hurting. It's just obscuring my mind.
Okay. So how come the love is coloring your mind in a way that you can't see what?
I can't focus on the meditation. Like my mind drifts away. Yes, like it's a pattern I want to break.
Yes, yes. Okay. So the thoughts go to the person. The thought goes to the past, to memory. The thought might go to the future. The thought might wrap itself around desire. Yes. Could be. Okay. Yes, I got it. So the I thought wraps itself around, I want this person. Yes? Say more.
Yes, it's like you said, it's like drifting through time.
Yes.
And space and
yes,
wonders.
Yes.
But I want to be here.
Yes. Okay. So what would it take for you to be here right now?
I don't know. That's why I'm here.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we've had a few clues so far. One of them is to let go of the desire, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so what would it take for you to let go of that desire here and now?
I don't know. I'm trying to appreciate the like the emotion on its own without the thing that it's attached to, just to appreciate the love that I'm feeling and detach it from the person.
Okay. So to rest into love itself. Say a little more about that, if you could.
like earlier when you told us about contentment, then
yes,
there were moments when I could just lie in it and just be in the present with the feelings without the thoughts that comes along.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So the thought that comes along is based on a particular view or idea. What would that be? It's based on the memory of the person.
Yeah, it's based on memories and longing and fear. And the fear, of course, is attachment.
Okay. All right. Well seen. That's good. The fear is becoming attached.
Yeah, the fear is because, like you said, it's our response to things. When I think that my love is something good that I want to last, then it comes along with a fear that it won't last.
Yes, 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 indeed. Really well seen. Okay, so what we tend to do is we look to somebody else for our happiness, for our contentment. We look to the outer world, somebody, something, to make us happy. In the meditation this morning about contentment, did you need to look to the outer?
No.
No. Okay. No. So what does that say?
Yeah, I guess it means that to be with myself and really be with myself without anything else is contentment.
Yes. And the contentment, the understanding of the contentment, brings a kind of knowing that there's nothing really missing. So when we feel really contented, we don't have to reach towards something else to make us happy, do we? You were sitting this morning, even for a few moments, in contentment. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes the love and contentment is known inwardly. Sometimes, of course, someone does bring us great love and joy and contentment. A lover, a friend, a child, an animal. We can experience enormous love towards another. But the love we're talking about in the Dharma is a love that's unbound. A love that will never leave you. A contentment that will never leave you. So it's there regardless of whether you're with the person or not.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah, so this is, don't go yet. This is the love that brings us release. Okay, so when our love is conditional upon another person, the other person can leave us. Trouble, suffering, heartbreak. When we know a love within us that is unbound, not dependent upon external conditions, there's enormous freedom in that. You mentioned fear before. Say just a couple of words about the fear. You said it's fear of losing what you have. Say more. What's the fear?
Well, it's the fear of the attachment we form to one another.
Yes, yes. So we need to be really, really careful. Because once we start to see ourselves as a couple, we start to have all these expectations of the other, don't we? And this goes back and forth, and it's this kind of bargaining, conditional thing, and it can get into really muddy waters. So what would you need to look at? Attachment, reliance on the other person for happiness. What else keeps the fear in place for you?
Keeps the fear in place?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The fear that the person will, the fear that you'll be attached, or the fear that the person will leave and everything will change and the relationship will end. What keeps the fear there?
I guess it's the mix between the love that I feel in general and like the emotion that is quite new to me and is, I think, positive, and the mix between this and this person that is the source of it and like the only source.
Stop. The person is not the source of love. Okay? That's just a little error in the thinking. And by the way, I think the fact that you're sitting there feeling so in love with this person is a really fortunate person, okay? It's a beautiful quality of the heart. It's a loveliness that we have as human beings. We can really love. And it's one of the movements of the heart that is profound, actually. And when we really love, it's important that we don't see the other as the source of love. Because as long as we're doing that, there will be fear. So, be fearless. Love is unstoppable. It's wonderful. It's important that the love is selfless. It's boundless. It's big. Not narrow, based on me and mine. Otherwise, there's the desire to possess the other. And when we want to possess the other, we're caught in desire. We're caught in measurement. We're caught in evaluation. And we generally also get caught in negativity. So, be fearless. Keep coming back to the knowing of the contentment within your own heart, the knowing that actually needs no other. And then you can be with another really fully, fearlessly, without the attachment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, anybody? Welcome.
אז רק לטובת מי שלא שמע, אני אבי. This is not my first time. And this is exactly what I was fearing.
Okay.
I'm meditating for a while.
Yes.
And usually, and on other retreats, I dip or I dive into and reach to a deeper place much quicker.
Okay.
And this time, I don't know, but every one of the five visitors is here.
Ah.
And is feeling the hot.
Okay. Were you not the person? Oh, they can't hear you at the back.
I said that what happened to me here is what I was a little bit feared. And although that I can meditate at home or other places for quite a long time, and in other retreats here, I dived or I reached deeper places. I thought that I'll be able to reach to a good meditation sessions, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, all the visitors are coming to visit me, but every one of them, including body, stressful body.
Okay, so pain in the body, anxiety, restlessness, doubt. What else?
Exactly.
Sense, desire.
Everything that you said, and yes, much more.
Yes.
Just as an example, I usually know or able to count my breathing in and out.
Yes.
Usually I stop it at 10, so it won't. Usually I stop at 10, so it won't be automatically.
Yes.
But this time, this day, I didn't even get to 5.
Okay. All right. So there's a very strong self-view happening, isn't there? There's the idea that I ought to be able to go really deeply on this retreat. I've been before. I can usually deepen into quietness or stillness or depth of being. And so the view is, the thought is, this should happen now, today. So you come and it doesn't happen. Were you not the person who sat there this morning and said, pure joy?
Of course it was me.
Yes.
Of course it was me, but it was not even moments.
Okay.
Seconds.
Okay. With the seconds of pure joy, what happened to the self, the I thought?
Not much self.
Not much.
As I said.
Okay, exactly. So there's the clue. When self dissolves, when self ceases, when the I thought diminishes, there's pure joy, among other things. And in that pure joy, there's peace, isn't there?
The moment you get the joy, you reach the peace.
Yes. So that tells you that peace is possible. You know that. So for the rest of the meditations, your mind has been going round and round. Body's been aching. There's been discomfort. How did you know all of that was happening? No, yeah.
How did I know that I'm not focused?
Yes.
It's very easy. I'm not focused. I know. I can feel it and I can think about it.
Yes, you're...
Unfortunately, I can think about it, not only feel it.
Okay. So you feel it. You're aware of it. Okay. So we check in with the mind. The condition of the mind today is my mind is unfocused. If we then grasp that and give that thought continuity through time, we keep the self in place. This is the selfing process. Got it? So the very thought, that very thought is the self. That very thought is that which is obscuring or seeming to obscure your freedom of heart. From your experience on retreats, you've done a number, yes? What do you really deeply know?
I think that I deeply know that it's possible.
And yes.
I'm on the way.
Yes. Okay. Svein, you deeply know that freedom is possible and that you're on the path. You are cultivating that which frees and liberates heart and mind. Right now, could you just move your attention from the world of thought to round about here? So inside your body, taking the attention down to your chest. Now just breathing rather quietly, sinking into a sense of stillness.
For a moment, no visitors.
Ah, right there. One moment mightn't be long enough for you. We might do it again. Okay. So if you would, taking the attention from behind the eyes, consciousness seems to sit often in the world of thought just in the head. Take the attention down to the chest, if you would, please. And now open your eyes and look around. Notice what you see. It's a great view from here. Yes. Ah. Yes, it's a view of love. Easy as that. As easy as that. It's just letting go of the I thought and what I want and how I want my meditations to be. Then there's love and joy and peace all round. Yes, anybody? Yes, come.
Hi, my name is Sharon.
Welcome.
Thank you. And today what was really new for me in this practice was like letting it come to me, the
yes.
breath, the sensations, because when I'm used to meditate, I choose how to use my focus.
Yes.
And in the past, when I do like metta or other practices, I'm able to create joy and a lot of great stuff, but I choose to bring it, like I'm doing an action. I'm smiling and feeling the smile. And today, when I try to bring it to me, because that was the instructions. I do feel like peace, and that's great. And I don't feel, I feel stillness, but I don't feel like an emotion coming.
Okay. All right. You feel stillness, and you said, well, that's great, as if it wasn't quite complete.
It just wasn't the instructions.
Oh, it wasn't?
There was a point that to feel joy.
Okay. So the instruction was breathing in, experiencing joy. Breathing out, experiencing joy. So you felt, you waited, and you felt the touch of the breath, and then you felt stillness. Say a little more about the stillness that you felt. Describe for me what happened.
I just feel the air. It's cool. It goes into my nostrils.
Yes.
It goes down. I feel my stomach blows. Then at one point, my stomach is full.
Yes.
Then it stops.
Yeah.
I keep myself even more aware there.
Yes, very good.
And then it starts going out. And then it's more warm. And that's the feeling. And I stay there. And that's all there is. And that's, I'm very happy about it. But I don't feel joy.
Okay, it's all right. So, there was stillness. In the stillness, was there any difficulty?
For the recording, no.
In the stillness, was there any sense of self?
For moments, no.
Okay. So, there's the cessation of self. There's no difficulty.
Quite great, but it's not joy in my feeling.
Exactly, exactly. Never mind the joy, it'll come. Okay, so we're just exploring here. There was stillness. There was not self. There was no attachment. There was just breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in. And breathing out. What does this experience tell you about how to live life?
Life can be very, very calm if I choose.
Oh, okay. If I choose, is there some doubt about this?
There isn't doubt. It's not always the fun way. Sometimes it's fun not to choose to be calm.
Okay. So some desire to have fun. Mm-hmm. All right. So the stillness tells us or shows us that there's a way of being with life without rushing after it, without wanting anything. If we can just be still there, what's the next thing that comes?
I feel from the question the answer is joy, but that's not what I feel.
No, I'm not asking you what you think you should say. Yeah.
Okay.
What comes with the stillness? What does the stillness reveal? Self has ceased. The problematic has ceased.
Everything can be very simple.
Everything can be simple. What else?
I always have this access inside of me.
Yes. What else?
I don't really need a lot. That's not very freeing to know that.
Yes. Beautiful. What else?
I don't know.
So we can live turning towards that, turning towards the unproblematic. We can see that we don't really need a lot. Need a lot to what?
To be happy.
Yeah. We almost got there. So the stillness reveals the possibility of living in peace. It reveals a way of living where the problematic doesn't rule consciousness. Right there is the possibility of the end of suffering. Except the mind saying, oh, the instruction was for joy. I'd say never mind the joy. If peace and stillness and freedom of heart and the knowing of how to live has come to you, just take that. Be happy with that. Be really happy with that. Yeah. And then your life will be a joy.
Thank you very much.
And the joy that we're talking about isn't necessarily the joy of that's excitable and bubbly and effervescent. Not that kind of emotional joy. But there's another kind of joy, and it's a joy that isn't bound to wanting the conditions to be a certain way in order for us to be content or happy or to have or to know freedom. So it's a joy that isn't dependent or grasping or landing anywhere in particular. It's a joy that doesn't demand life be a certain way. And if we know that, then we know peace. And that's transforming. It's life-changing for most of us to really deeply know that. So let the peace flood through your being.
I think I have sometimes a fear that this way that I go, mm-hmm. it's great for removing pain.
Yes.
And that is a lot. I'm not mm-hmm. underestimating mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like that bubbling joy, the more I go this through this way, I feel it less. I feel like my home life is much more stable. And yes. I'm really happy about the stability. Yes. But sometimes I'm desiring also the bubbly joy.
Of course. And we have the bubbly joy when we're with friends. I had lunch with some friends before I left Australia. They're friends I have known for years, but I'd actually never been to their house for lunch. And I tell you, we laughed until we cried for about 3 hours. It was so beautiful. It was really lovely. And it was just fun. You know, we weren't having deep and meaningful conversations or whatever, but we were just laughing together and having fun together. And this is an aspect of life that flows really freely. And so the Dharma's not all seriousness. It really isn't. And love and lightness and fun and delight can still be there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'll just offer a short reflection on the inquiries today. The first inquiry was about love and the tendency of the mind to attach to somebody we love and to look to somebody we love for our happiness. What we'll notice on retreat is the mind will go to the past and rest on a lover, a friend, or someone very dear to us. But then what we'll notice is the mind has the tendency to grasp or cling or to want. And then, of course, the wanting mind fantasizes about the future. And we can rush to the future. And so then our thoughts and perceptions and ideas are colored with desire, what we want. In the Dharma, when we speak of love, it means actually the absence of any ill will, the absence of the desire to harm oneself or another. In the monasteries all over Asia, that's considered love. In the West and East, we sometimes see love as romantic love. In India, they have make such a big deal about Valentine's Day, you would not believe. It's unbelievable. So romantic love is very often the love of attachment. Then, of course, there's other forms of love, you know, the love we have for our parents, the love we have for our children, the love we have for our families. So when we're looking at love, in essence, love is boundless, love is immeasurable, love is vast. And we have to watch the movement of the heart to look to the outer for our happiness, to look to the outer for our contentment. We think if this person just loved us, we'd be fine. In that situation, we're incredibly vulnerable because at any time one person can want the relationship to end or end the relationship, and then there's loss and heartbreak. So love, in its deepest sense, is selfless. It's not about me. It's not mine. It's actually free of the desire to possess. The desire to possess is part of attachment. And very easily, our romantic love shifts from the really genuine, heartfelt feelings of love and warmth and kindness to attachment that's full of expectations, that's full of demands. And so we have to see and know ourselves really well and rest more and more into a love that we can touch within us so that we don't feel desperate, we don't feel needy to be loved by another in order to feel okay. So we take the attention inwardly, we touch really deeply into a sense of contentment, and that contentment tells us that nothing is actually missing. So many times people have said this in meditation, they can have this extraordinary feeling that nothing is missing. And so then when we approach relationship without the neediness or the desire to possess, then the relationship can blossom in its fullness and beauty and be extraordinary. And of course, in relationship, we see ourselves rather clearly. We see the other rather clearly sometimes. It's very easy to blame the other or to blame oneself. Relationships, like anything else, occur due to causes and conditions. There are a myriad of events that form and coalesce and come together, conditions that form and coalesce and come together in order to bring about the relationship in the first place. We tend to personalize all of this. We don't see that causes and conditions contribute to the beginning of the relationship, and they also contribute to the end of the relationship. They contribute to a relationship being in place or the absence of it. We take it rather personally. And if we can just shift our attention from the other and from the personal, we can really rest in a deep and profound love that's freeing. And then the whole of life is romantic. It's wonderful. And of course, in our meditation, what we notice with thought, as the young woman said, her mind grips on to the thought. The mind fixes upon a thought. And this leads me to the second inquiry, where the mind was fixing upon a thought of, I want this retreat to be like the others. I want to go really deeply and it's not happening. So this is when the mind forms around the view. And the quick journey from the view, which is generally centered in the head, to the heart, this is the journey of meditation, just from there to here, can bring immediate release, as we saw just so beautifully. So with the attention and also with the attention of others, there's that wonderful kind of release from that release to love itself, to ease, and to that sense of freedom. And then the visitors that were referred to are the hindrances of mind, our desires, our restlessness, our doubt. And the whole catastrophe, the hindrances appear to us. When we're caught up in greed, or we're caught up in anger or negativity, a wonderful question to ask ourselves is, what is it I desire right now? What do I want right now and don't have? When we ask that question, what do I want right now? Peace in my meditation. What do I want deeply? Freedom. What don't I have? I don't appear to have that right now. And so desire and negativity and confusion blanket or cover our freedom. We need to find a way to cut through. And the way we saw here, we cut through when we come to the heart and we simply let go. So letting go into freedom. And with the final inquiry, sometimes we touch a depth of beautiful stillness. And it was beautifully described, of being with the breath, of knowing the stillness, of tracking and following the breath. When we really do this and the attention gets deeper and the stillness becomes more exquisite, self ceases, desire ceases, wanting mind ceases, desire is wanting mind, clinging ceases, our attachment ceases. And then there can be, with our practice, a real depth of stillness. And in that depth of stillness, I promise you, there'll be joy. There'll be a sublime happiness and vast peace. If we can touch there, we know for ourselves the end of suffering. This is the wisdom of the way. This is the Dharma path, that we know for ourselves how to touch peace, how to come back to stillness, how to know love directly. It's the path, and it's also the fruit. So thank you, each of you, for listening so beautifully, quietly, and special thanks to the three who came and inquired with such sincerity. I deeply appreciate that. Thank you.